You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Clement Magnatella
on 702.
Let's walk the talk on 92.7
and 106 FM.
Minutes after 9 o'clock. Dumelang, welcome to the show. It's Wednesday, the 13th of July, almost halfway through the month. So we're getting there, my friends. It's good to have you with us here on 702 011 883 0702. That's the number to dial on the 702 open line this morning. If you want to send a WhatsApp voice note, 072 702 1702. The SMS line is 31702.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
So, what do you guys make of what happened yesterday in court in the Senzo Meiwa murder trial? Advocate Malisa Latifo, as you may know now, who represents accused number 1 to 4, withdrew as counsel, and he said this is due to harassment from the state and the court. This is what he said yesterday.
On the 28th of April, when I was arrested before your court, Your Lordship, that was a plan, and the plan was hatched in the office of the president, the number one office of the number one in the country, that I'm a problematic advocate. I'm interfering with a plan that has been hatched, that my client should take the responsibility of the murder of Senzo Meiwa. Despite the fact that they were innocent. So,
I'm sorry, my lord, and I
so that's what he was saying yesterday, right, as he was withdrawing as the advocate representing accused number 1 to 4. And what's going to happen now is that he will be on watching brief, right? He'll be on watching brief, but he's not going to be representing the four accused anymore. I've interviewed Advocate Defo on this show. I have watched the trial when I have time, and in my view, and you may agree or disagree with me, I'll take your calls on that. 011-883-0702. Send a WhatsApp as well. But in my view, when I interviewed him, from the time when I've even watched him in court, I've actually thought, my goodness, he's actually been an embarrassment to this profession. I feel like he's making a mockery of our justice system. Doesn't seem to have any grasp whatsoever of the law, of the court procedure, no appreciation of the decorum that is expected in court. And I feel like he's actually embarrassed himself and the court. He's got this tendency of just grandstanding, right? He makes these sweeping statements. Eh? Yesterday he said he was offered a bribe. He's been offered many bribes by people. But that's a crime, and he should know that. He should report that. But has he reported it? He didn't even say that in court. He says it outside. He doesn't say that in court. And he says he's going to hold a media briefing to reveal the people that have... And I don't even think, I bet you, he's going to name the people, these so-called people that have offered him bribes. I bet you. He's not going to do that. But he said, I'll reveal it all at a media briefing. So he wants to have a media briefing, but he can't even expose that criminal element in court. And look, I understand that there can be tension in court, right? There can be disagreements between a judge and the counsel, the legal counsel. They can go hard against each other, but still within the bounds of respect and decorum of the court. And my understanding is he's actually a member of the Legal Practice Council. And there is conduct that the legal counsel practice require from its members. You know what they've done in the past with Advocate Dalimpoof, even though he's come out unscathed. But at some point, they investigated him because they thought his conduct was unprofessional. So I want to know from you what you think of how Advocate Defo has conducted himself throughout the trial. Give me a call, send me a WhatsApp voice note. I was actually reading a judgment in another matter where he was involved. It's a judgment by Judge Msimeki on the conduct of Advocate Tefo, and he says, and I quote, "I, in my entire career as a judge or attorney, while I practiced, have never experienced or saw what Mr. Tefo was doing in court. In that matter, by the way, he was excluded from the case with immediate effect." And then there was another judge, Judge Edwin Kotlalemaje, who also said, and I quote, "It's apparent that ethical and professional conduct, which is expected of officers of a court, and which further calls for integrity, fairness, respect, and the avoidance of behavior which is insulting and demeaning, clearly escaped Tefo. Or at worst, he is not, as a practitioner, aware of these basics." So this seems like behavior by Advocate Tefo that is consistent. And no one says things don't get heated, right? Or that lawyers must not argue their cases passionately and stand their ground. We've seen many do that. Advocate Thembe Kanyukaitobi, Gerry Nel, Advocate Masuku, for the former President Jacob Zuma, Advocate Muzisi Kakani. There are many others who still stand their ground when they argue cases, but still do so within what is expected of the decorum of court. Thing is, this counsel's behavior, the sad thing is, it's also detrimental to their client's case. So I'm going to take your calls on what you think. What have you observed throughout the trial? Now that he's out, do you think he conducted himself in a way that is expected of an officer of a court? Give me a call on 011-883-0702.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clements Manyatela
on 702.
Malebo, you're calling us from Omonde. Good morning.
Hi, Clement.
Hey, Tada.
Hey, Tada. I just wanted to say, you know, I'm not a law student or a law practitioner, law expert by any means. But when you look at the way Tefo was doing this, let me say, Advocate Tefo was doing things. You could ask yourself as a normal person, I call an man. It's not going to go. It's a kangaroo court person who speaks most of the time. It doesn't follow the procedures. And when I say follow the procedures, there are a lot of things that he's been muted on or stopped from saying. And he wants to get his point across. But when you look at it, there's more.
Your call has been placed on hold.
Oh, dear.
Please wait.
Okay, take my table, my level back quickly and try reestablish that line. I think he mistakenly put us on hold. While we wait for that, let's take Kustas in Midrand. Kustas, how's it?
Hey, morning. Hey, Clement, you know, this issue of Advocate Tefo, it troubles me in many ways. He came with inside info, which we enjoyed. But at the same time, as soon as we knew there was two dockets, this case should have been stopped. Because it meant that the process is flawed that led to these guys. If there were two dockets, there should have been a case of defeating at the ends of justice for the people who were able to draw that guy from KwaZulu-Natal's face, meaning the police were misled by Kelly Khumalo and them in that house. Remember, they had to do the identity thing. So they told the police the guy who came in looked like that. So forcing the entire country to look for someone like that, whom we found in KwaZulu-Natal. This process that led us to this case is flawed. As soon as the judge became aware that there were two dockets, he should have said, hold on, how do we know what these are the right ones? Give us the evidence from the second docket. Let's sift it through to prove that you have collected evidence on the docket one, on docket two. That was the work of Advocate Tefo. So Advocate Tefo has really worked hard on this case. For him to leave, Clement, it hurts.
Okay, but wait. On the two dockets, Kustas, you do know that the other docket that Advocate Tefo is a docket 365. Is it docket 355? There was clarity from the NPA, Kustas, that docket was not signed for prosecution.
But hold on. We don't have the state. Look, Clement, put it this way.
There was a letter from the NPA that indicated that.
No, hear me out. Is there a docket? If the answer was a yes, because therefore questioned that letter. He said the junior advocate wasn't a junior. You see? So he said that in court. He says, no, the person who is considered today as a junior advocate was not, in fact, a junior advocate at all. So who was lying? So you see,
okay, wait, Kustas. It's actually 375, not 365.
Yes.
That's a docket that's been mentioned several times by Advocate Defo. But I'm saying, why are we talking so? How material is it in this trial, given that the state has clarified several times, even to Advocate Mshololo, that that was a mere memorandum from a junior advocate? Okay, let's forget that he's a junior or senior advocate. The point is, that docket wasn't signed for prosecution because there was no strong evidence against the parties that are involved.
Now, you see, Clement, I like what you just said. Already, the process is compromised. Why the two dockets to start with?
Well, there will be.
There have been two dockets.
Well, Kusas, if you are investigating something and there's evidence that's showing and demonstrating that this could be the cause of the murder and these are the people that could be involved, and you look into that docket and you realize that actually, no, we are looking at the wrong people. There's no evidence here. Let's move it over to these people. So why would you then want to still place so much reliance on that first docket if the NPA says it wasn't really signed for prosecution? Because here's the problem. What Advocate Defo, I feel, was trying to paint here, and I'm not saying, by the way, that the other people who are in that house with Senzo Meyua are somehow innocent. Advocate Defo has really been failing to demonstrate to us why he thinks that those people are, in fact, responsible. And I was hoping you'll see this case through so that he can bring about the evidence and that witness. Remember the witness he said he's going to bring? What happens to him? And I think he was also just making a sweeping statement and being a populist. But the point I'm making here is, with this second docket, Kustas, Advocate Defo was trying so desperately to try and place reliance on it, even when he knew that the NPA didn't decide to prosecute. And he was trying to create an impression that, well, look, this is the docket that was there, and there have been some political interferences here that ensure that you don't move with that docket, but you move with this one. But it doesn't bring about evidence. And when you are in court, we deal with the merits of the case. You being a populist, making claims about Cyril Ramaphosa being involved and doesn't want you in the case, doesn't help us. Bring the evidence that you may have so that you convince the judge. And I feel that's where he's failed. He just brings gimmicks.
Now, let me put it to you this, Clement. If a lawyer goes to court and just say lie, he should be prosecuted. Would you agree with me on that? If Defo claimed the two dockets and to find out there was none, he should have been prosecuted. I'm just using that. However, when we come to this case, Clement, there are two centers that happened here, Begicele and the other one. What I'm trying to point out to you is that the process is already tainted, Clement. Why should a process be tainted to start with within the SPS? It should not have been, right? Secondly, to that, Clement, I want to say to you, the judges should not accept it. Put it this way, there are people who are languishing in jail for crime they didn't commit because these things happen, and we look the other way. What should have happened in this case? As soon as there was a bungling of the case by the SAPS, there should have been a dead stop to say, hold on. How do you, why did you not prosecute to stay? Show us evidence. It should have been come to a court.
Damn, but the NPA then said, there was no evidence against those people. That's why we didn't sign that docket for prosecution. What do you want them to do? To continue and prosecute people even when there are no chances of success?
Those people who were in the house should be charged for defeating the ends of justice because they misled the police to go and arrest the wrong person. Tell me if that's wrong. They told the police the person that who committed the crime looked like this, and it turned out they were lying. We know that. Don't you think, to you, Clement, that those people should have been
But that's not the case. But that other docket is not about defeating the ends of justice. You are talking about the charges that must be brought against these people.
Apparently, Clement, the opinion on that docket states what I'm saying, that they should have been charged for defeating the ends of justice. You cannot lie to the police and get away with it. Those people lied to the police and got away with it. What I'm then saying to you, the judge and the system itself should just put an end to this and just hold on.
So you believe, Kustas, quickly, lastly, you believe that the court, the system itself has been unfair against Advocate Defo?
I do believe that the system is not listening to Defo.
Okay, got you. Kustas in Midrand, thank you very much for coming in. Let's take Malebo in Omonde. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Clement.
Hey.
Oh, man, I don't know what happened to us earlier on. I was just saying that, you know, the way advocates conduct themselves in court. Looking at the Harinels, Periru in court, and the Darling Popus, although he's got his own things as well. But he was too emotional. You know, when somebody is at the street court and he's known to be the smartest in the community, and they come up with all sorts of allegations that very, very, but in scary men. I mean, if you say the president, the Gitele, and so forth, why are you not laying charges as an advocate? So that is what is happening.
Mm.
And be frank and formal about it.
Yeah, yes, got you, Malebo. And if you are saying that there are people that offered you bribes, have you opened a case? Like, let's expose these people. You're not beginning to sound like the former president, Jacob Zuma, and even some of the other ANC leaders who will say, we know corruption has been happening and we will talk. Like, you've been aware of criminality, but you have not said anything about it, and you're waiting for the opportune moment, huh? When it serves your interests? Come on. The other thing, Advocate Tifo said that the Pretoria High Court can't postpone this case to allow for Advocate Mshololo to go through the docket. Remember, was it 2 months ago? And his reasoning was because the court has no power to do that. But what exactly was he challenging? Because a jurisdiction document was signed by the NPA head, Shamila Batohi, moving the case from the Palm Ridge Magistrates Court to Pretoria because of space. And the state says Advocate Tifo didn't even object to that transfer. And yet he wants to argue that this court doesn't have jurisdiction. But you knew the case was being moved to this court. You didn't have a problem with that. And now you are trying to come up with all... And I think he's moving away from this because he has no case. He has no case. He keeps on making sweeping statements, making gimmicks, and yet he has nothing to prove. And it actually reminded me of what someone once said about people who make these gimmicks. What was it? Someone said once that, you know, people often do this grandstanding. And because they can't argue facts and they end up, you know, arguing, now being political, so to speak. I'm going to find, it says, when facts are not in your favor, argue law. When law is not in your favor, argue facts. And when facts and law are not in your favor, give a political lecture. And how many of that did you get from Advocate Tifo throughout this trial? Let's go to the Vaal now. Tifo is calling us from the Vaal. Is this Advocate Tifo or is it somebody else named Tifo? Yeah? Which Tifo is this?
I will reserve my comment on that one.
Yeah, what do you want to say?
Clement, very quickly, I'm very worried. I'm on a very serious note. I'm very worried. Advocate Tifo's conduct in court, for me, so far he has demonstrated nothing that really justifies having him be referred as an advocate. I mean, his scant and pedestrian understanding of legal concepts is actually quite terrifying. As a result, I strongly believe there's a reason or case for a serious background, educational background check on this man's resume. I really doubt he's really. He's coming across as a clear imposter.
Yeah.
That needs to be checked out. And secondly, I also feel that the judge himself, his performance, I mean, the way he's actually run this case, leaves much to be desired. I don't think he's come across as very firm enough and he's in control of his courtroom.
Actually, he's trying to balance as well, therefore, because because Advocate Tifo wanted to, has been arguing from the beginning that the judge is biased against him, and the judge has been trying to, I want to hear you, so I want to give you an opportunity to put your case, but at the same time, I want to be a little firm so that you don't abuse court processes. If that judge was more firmer than he has been, Advocate Tifo would have made so much noise about the bias against him, and I think the judge was trying to be balanced.
I hear what you're saying, but I think he's over. Indulged him. I mean, he's burned way too much to really accommodate his nonsense. But most importantly, and very lastly, Clement, I really, really feel pity for the four accused whose lives were in the hands of this clown. This guy's not a lawyer.
All right, therefore, in the Vaal, thank you for your call. I mean, if he's a member of the Legal Practice Council, I'm sure he is a lawyer. But we can still have incompetent lawyers, right? I can't make a conclusion on the competency of Advocate Difo because I've not watched his entire work. I've not looked at all the cases that he's taken on. But I'm saying my view, and you may disagree, from what I have watched, even when I interviewed him on this show, I thought this is an embarrassment to the profession. It's just up to 9:30.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
It's 25 minutes before 10 o'clock. 011-883-0702. Your WhatsApp's on 072-702-1702.
Good morning, Clement. Gustas is doing exactly what Advocate Tefo does in court. He's talking about, Gustas is currently talking about evidence due in court and the case merit. We're not talking about that. We're talking about Advocate Tefo's conduct in court, which I thought yesterday was really, really embarrassing. This gentleman is either watching too many movies, or, you know, sometimes I sit and I think, is everything okay at home? You know, that kind of thing. But I think Gustas is doing exactly as he's, you know, we're discussing one thing in court and then Advocate Tefo would just go completely in the opposite direction and speak over himself and just bring something completely different and new and just grandstanding all the way. Thanks, Clement, Natasha.
And by the way,
Clement,
yeah, Natasha, got it. And by the way, I'm not making a statement on the merits of the case, right? And I'm not saying that there is no political interference. And I'm not saying that the people who were in that house with Tsinzi Mayiwa were actually not involved in the matter or, as Gustas says, defeating the ends of justice. I'm just saying the conduct of this man for me doesn't demonstrate someone who actually understands what his job is all about or who even had a case to put up before the court. And I suspect that he left now because all of us are waiting for that big moment where he brings in that witness that is going to implicate Kelly Khumalo. Aren't you waiting for that? That was going to be the biggest moment of this case because nobody has come out publicly, right? Or even on a sworn statement to implicate Kelly Khumalo. So we were waiting for that big moment. So what do you do? What do you do when you know people are waiting for the big moment and you can't deliver? Haba, leave. It's the best way to do it, I would argue. And I feel like that's what he's done. Or maybe it's not. Maybe, in fact, he has faced these threats, because that's what he said outside of court, that he's been facing threats. And then he says, but then again, I knew what I was getting myself into when I came into this case. But now you're giving exactly... You're doing exactly what you said you knew. So you knew that it was going to be difficult and the people didn't want you in. But now you're giving in and you're out. And some of you could argue that because really he's facing those threats. Let's wait for the media briefing. Maybe he's going to share more with us about, one, the people that have been threatening him, the people that have been trying to bribe him to get out of this case, and also some evidence of President Cyril Ramaphosa being involved in hatching a plan to get him out of this case. Sipo, you're calling from Orlando East. Good morning.
How are you? How are you, Mr. Manyathela?
Good, good. What do you want to say?
I'm good, man. Clement, on this matter, I'll dare to differ with most of the people that have called you. But I'm with Gustas, you know. I'll tell you why. Mr. Manyathela, you know who advocates Difo? We must not forget that he's a former police officer. He knows the system of how the police work in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he's given a chance, you know, to be an advocate, which was a plus for him in this matter, right? So remember, there were cops that were investigating this case from the beginning when it first started.
Mm-hmm.
But those prosecutors were withdrawn from that case. You know, they were withdrawn from the case without even a proper explanation why were they withdrawn in the first place. Now, again, with all that now, with the withdrawals, now you find that there are now two documents, you know. In my own understanding, there's no advocate that can go from the NPA to go and write a docket. A docket is opened up in a police station, you know. So there are so many loopholes in this case.
Yeah, it's open in the police station, but the NPA is the one that decides whether to prosecute or not. So Hawks, the police can send a docket to the NPA, and the NPA can either decide, take it back, investigate, because there are no prospects of successful prosecution, or they don't, or they sign off on it and say, actually, there's sufficient evidence here, and we are confident we have a case in court. In this case, that docket that you and Kustas are talking about is immaterial, in that the NPA didn't sign off on it because they felt there are no prospects of success. And maybe it's the police that didn't do the work to investigate properly, right? Maybe, in fact, those people are implicated. But as it stands, from the evidence the NPA looked at, there are no prospects of success. And that's why they didn't sign off on that prosecution, on that docket.
But now, the problem about this docket is that, Clement, why can't it be taken to court? Be proven in a court of law that these things, what is in documents, they are not in the document, I mean, docket, they are not true. Who decides to take a case to court, or not?
The NPA. That's not how it works. You know how many cases, Sipo, get to the NPA and they don't even make it in court? Imagine if the NPA had to take every single case that the SAPS and the Hawks puts before them and put it to court. The backlog, it's actually impractical. And that's why you've got this institution. Because its job, it's not just to go and prosecute, but its job is to look at the evidence at hand and say, we are going ahead or we are not going ahead. And sometimes it's the police that don't do their job. So the NPA are not going to take a case where they're going to be embarrassed. Look at what's happened with the Estina Dairy Farm, the case that they took against the Guptas. You end up having the NPA with egg on their face. Why? Because they took a case and a matter to court when it wasn't ready, or when proper work was not done, when there were no prospects of success based on the work that the law enforcement agencies had done.
Clement, lastly, if this case cannot be tested in the court of law, why is now Mr. Tefo being intimidated? Why is being arrested? Why so many things are happening against this person who just wants justice for his own clients?
I don't know. I don't have an answer, Sipo. I don't have an answer to that.
That's my point.
But then I'm not going to make an assumption that just because someone says they're being threatened, then therefore that proves their case, that Kelly Khumalo, for instance, is guilty, or the people. No, that's not how courts work. It's we need evidence in court. And if Advocate Tefo still has that evidence, my understanding is that his attorney is going to continue probably with the case. So let's see if that evidence is going to emerge through the attorney. But we can't say just because someone says they're being threatened, and therefore that's a sign that, yeah, there must be evidence against Tefo. Nah, I don't believe that. Let's go to John in Blegori. John, good morning.
Hi, hello. Thank you, Clement. I hope I've got enough time to actually try and clarify things. I'm a social worker. I work with Dan Tefo, with whistleblowers that he represents, and I just want to say to all those skeptics who think that this guy doesn't have any track record in law, he's been very successful in representing former police officers that have been wrongfully dismissed, managed to get them back in their jobs. When those police top brass are willing to take them back, in many cases they deny that. So I'm giving you that background so that we can understand where this is coming from. He's been a policeman for 17 years, an advocate for the last 20 or so, and he studied while he was in police, and he understands exactly how the system works. He's not a criminal lawyer. He's not somebody who's got a vast experience as, say, Kelly Nell or people like that.
Yeah.
And I think the fundamental problem with this trial is that Advocate Tefo has been trying to prosecute the case that he believes, and I believe, the state should be prosecuting, which is case 375, which, of course, puts the people in the house, in the dock. He thought this would become self-evident once the trial started. But the court had to follow this adversarial prosecutorial process where the state's decision to pursue the contract killing was the one which the judge had to basically follow. And Tefo objected to that right at the beginning. He says, come on, they got two dockets. And then suddenly people got two dockets. In a press conference in December last year, he explained it all, and it's up there on my YouTube channel. So what he's in fact tried to do is prosecute this case himself. He's had to do it from the bar. And it's always going to be a bridge too far, because testifying from the bar is a no-no in court. You have to allow the process of evidence to come through witnesses. So it was unsustainable. He realized that this was now something that was far too, that he wasn't going to win. So he thought the best interest of his client were that he should withdraw. And we will find another advocate who's going to represent them with a bit of experience who can then take this particular case and show up the fact that there was more than reasonable doubt to say that these five men as currently accused actually are the ones that should be in the dock. And hopefully we'll then get to the next case. Now, the irony of it, you know, and I'd love to have a chat with Gerry Nel with the public to debate this. There's common cause between Gerry Nel and AfriForum and Dan Tefo, in as much as Dan represents as a watching brief for Sefiso Beyua, whereas advocate Gerry Nel and AfriForum represent the family, the rest of the family, the mother and the sisters and the cousins. Now, we've got to say as a social worker, who are the most vulnerable and disadvantaged? Who are the people that stand most to lose here? It's the family, and I have particular concern for Senzo and Kelly's daughter, who's 8 years old. What narrative is she going to inherit?
Yes.
So what really is it happening now? It's the criminal justice system that's on trial for after 8 years. Still no prosecution. And that's the court, that's the burden that Dan Tefo is carrying.
Absolutely. John, I've got you. The criminal justice system that is on trial. Great contribution there, John. And yeah, can you think about, I mean, my heart goes to the family of the Senzo Meyua, because at the end of the day, there's a family that's still looking for answers, that's looking for justice. You know, far apart from the big gimmicks that are playing out in court. I mean, think about his daughter as well. And it doesn't help that the mom as well is entering the fray and talking about how she is the one that somehow propped up the profile of Senzo Meyua because nobody knew him before he met her. So yeah, it doesn't help at all.
Voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
It's going up to 10 minutes before 10 o'clock. Let's play some of the WhatsApp voice notes and then we'll go back to the calls.
Hi Clement, I'm responding to Kustas. South Africans seem to think that our courts are what they see on American TV. Or it's sitting in a tavern just discussing, or it's at a political rally where you can make gratuitous statements. As you rightly said, it is about the facts and the evidence. Don't come with your conspiracy theories in front of a court. They will not be entertained. Thulani and Santon.
Clement, how's it? Relating to advocate Malisa Latifo, waratarata mandiman. He's all over the place. He doesn't have a clearly defined and a clearly pursued sequence of events in terms of a plan of action of what it is he wants to arrive at. Waratarata is all over the place, and now he's just caused a further delay, unnecessary delay to the trial. He's all over the place.
Morning, Clement. AK Gomabopan. I advocate people, not from me. All he wanted was a spotlight and he did get it. Now he's famous, everybody knows him, that is why. And then, how can he want to be a judge? He's an advocate, not a judge. Now he wants to control the court and everything. Aye, man. Hey, rumborile, that man.
Rumborile. You sound so disappointed. Listen, this case is so suspicious. And probably what we need to do is maybe even credit, give a little bit of credit to Advocate Tefo for making us as the nation start questioning some of the things, right? And start really looking closely at some of the things we have not really closely focused on. But even with that, the way that he did that for me is just so problematic. As a lawyer, there's a lot expected of you. Someone called in earlier and said, I'm suspecting that this man even a lawyer? He's questioning even his credentials. I don't think that's the question for now. In fact, yesterday there was a funny moment in court when he and the judge were talking about the issue of where he may have studied.
Which school of law did I attend? Solo didn't attend.
I've been wondering about that.
Yes.
I have really been wondering about. I have been, you know, to an extent, to an extent of wondering whether it was day or night school. You know, I have really been wondering.
Yeah.
A simple issue of sharing information, now you are ranting about it as if something unheard of.
The cat is out of the bag today.
Is out of the bag.
The cat that has been on the bench is out of the bag today. You have been wondering about me.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
These are the procedures you want to impose here.
But I cannot be told.
I've been wondering.
But I cannot be told about the provision of the procedure.
Yeah. I mean, the last time he said to the judge, yeah, you and I must take this to the chamber. Let's take this to the chamber. Guys, Dr. Lebo. In Centurion, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Clement. I just think Advocate TF is just ahead of time. And he's not working gradually with us. He's at a point where his clients are already innocent, and we are now dealing with the people who are in the house. And that frustrates the hell out of him.
Mm.
Because he is at that point already. He's making requests about, let's go to that point that he has in his mind.
Mm.
He's making relevant requests in the court, but not at the right time. He's mentioning some things at the court, but not at the right time. I wish we could just hashtag bring back Advocate TF, you know. But he should just learn to be emotional, to be peaceful, to be gradual, allow things to be done at the right time. I mean, Clement already, I'm very busy the whole day, but when I get home, I make sure that I catch up with the case.
Mm.
There's already some view from the previous witnesses, you know, how the scene could have been tempered with.
Mm.
You know, the guy was shot in the other room, but there was no drops or even massive blood in the next rooms and so forth. I mean, there's already a view at this current stage. All he just needs to do is to be stop being emotional, come back and work with us. You know, it's like when you're writing an exam, there's always that section of the question paper that you're so prepared very hard for, and 25 marks at the last part of the question paper. But you know, you shouldn't skip the beginning part of the question paper, rush into that one.
But shouldn't
he's ahead?
Shouldn't law school have prepared him for that, Dr. Lebo?
The law, I think, is about the processes and so forth. But emotions, I've seen, you know, emotions.
But he's failing even at processes, like the applications that he's bringing forth, the things he wants to impose on the court, and the judge is like, no, that's not how it works, you know. But he's like, no, he insists, and then if he doesn't get what he wants, I'm being harassed.
He's ahead of us. He's at the point where his clients are now innocent. We are dealing with the people in the house. So he wants to be there. You know, he's making this big request, which might be him diluting the court and so forth. You know, but he should just bring the right weapons at the right time. Make the right request at the right time.
Yeah.
I strongly believe in him, you know, and I think he's, for me, given what the journey thus far, he can take this case, you know, to wide space.
Maybe you should give him a call, Dr. Lebo, and just tell him, dial it down a little bit, man. Dial it down a little bit. You're good, but just dial it down and respect processes. Huh?
Please.
Kaufa number hai. Bye bye, Dr. Lewin Centurion. Edwin in Joburg. Hi. Hey, Edwin.
Hello.
Sure.
Yes, how are you?
Go ahead.
Good, Mr. C. I'm quite interested really on this case. I've been following it for a while. Advocate Tiff, in the first place, he gave me the impression that he's getting somewhere, especially when he was introducing a second docket. Because I was of the view that if we can get those ones are implicated on the second docket, we might be able to get a clear picture of actually what transpired on that day. But now, along the way, he lost it, especially with the attitude, not following the procedures of court. Even though I'm not a law expert, I'm just a teacher, but who's quite interested in law. And I'm following all the cases sometimes on YouTube. So I realize that actually he's taking a different route. I really want to applaud the judge in this context, because really he has been trying to be more patient.
He has.
Trying to guide him here and there.
Mm.
And he couldn't take the guidelines, you know, from the judge. And also from from the other counsel, Advocate Mosholololo. Advocate Mosholololo was doing things quite well. You know, I think he should have actually worked together with Advocate Mshololo, because they were representing the guys who are already behind the bars.
Mm.
So they should be working in as a team, even though she was representing the fifth accused and him representing the four. But I think that because they were looking, focusing on the same thing of getting those guys out, or maybe just reducing the sentence for whatever, they were supposed to work together. But the way he was behaving, I don't think that he was opening doors for Advocate Mshololo to work together with him. Because from where I was sitting, I saw that Advocate Mshololo has more clear light about the procedures of the court.
Yeah, and he focuses on the case and the merits, and instead of like just making sweeping statements and being all over the place. Letloa Nolo, quickly, your last call on the 702 open line this morning. You're in Pretoria. Hi.
Good morning, Madimecha. Good morning to you. Madimecha, I'm going to touch on three things quickly, on four things, actually. On the first day that this thing happened, the night before, everybody else in Fosloras and in Katoras knew exactly what happened. And Kelly and the mother and all of them should be charged. If it's not for murder, it's for defeating the ends of justice. First and first, for cleaning the crime scene. They should be charged. Okay? Secondly, where is the mastermind? Kernel said there's a mastermind. Where are they waiting for this one to conclude? And then after that, only when they have concluded this one, they want to prosecute the mastermind. Thirdly, the advocate himself is a product of the SAPS. He knows how SAPS works. SAPS has a tendency, some of SAPS investigators have a tendency of wanting to stick things on people that they know they're not going to stick. They're using apartheid tactics. They're still using apartheid tactics on prosecuting the case. The NPA. The NPA needs to be transformed. It hasn't. As the gentleman from Randbeck said, the NPA hasn't been transformed to the apartheid. Yes.
Hmm?
It needs to be. I'm telling you, most 80% of the NPA hasn't been transformed.
What do you mean by transformed?
Like, you remember the NPA in apartheid eras?
I do, and I've read about it extensively in Bulelani Ngcuka. When you say transformation, are you talking about the amount of prosecutors who are white, or are you talking about the system, the culture? What do you mean by transformation?
The system and the culture. The system and the culture at the NPA, it hasn't been transformed.
Okay, we've got you, Letloa Nolo. I wish I had more time to talk to you more about that, but we're really completely out of time. Thanks for calling.